Welcome to Great I Am Radio, raising the vibration on everyday life matters with heart and soul. Here's your host, Rebecca Johns.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Oh, am I excited to bring you today's episode. It is August 1st. Happy August, y'all. Our new month. Lots of hope. It can be anything we want it to be. August of 2023 has never existed before. This is all fresh. This is all new landscape. This is all a clear, brand new canvas that we have for the month of August. I know you creative types love that visual. You linear thinkers might have gotten a little triggered with that one, but let's consider it just simply as building blocks. Every day this month is a building block towards a future. And it is an opportunity. It doesn't mean that we'll take it. It means that it's presented. And the opportunity is to genuinely create the lives that reflect the truth about ourselves, which is we are the great I am incarnate. And y'all know that with my work with the Godly Woman and our coaching and healing programs, our classes, our products, and with our work with Heaven on Earth Ministries, which is our outreach to extend those to little or nothing to communities that are hurting, that those brands work in collaboration to help people to set themselves free. And free is a very general term. I would like to give some delineation to simply by saying resting, freedom, resting in your personal sovereignty. That's that personal authority divinely given for you to be the creator of your life. And as I often say, I don't subscribe to the theory of dark. I subscribe to the theory of light. And when there are barriers, we experience something that we've given a word called darkness. But I also feel that way about love. Love, and then with the introduction of barriers, gives us things like fear and hate. And so when we can address the barriers, face them, let them speak, advise us, and then act accordingly to resolve them, whereby removing them, what we're left with is what had been there all along, the light and the love. And today we're going to look at this conversation from a specific angle. My special guest has gone through a personal experience of his own awakening that's inspired him to help others touch the core of their inner self to heal and share in the world through relationships of every nature, but especially those of a romantic and intimate nature, because really, in a world of strife and chaos and warring and a higher than ever divorce rate, becoming people who can embrace our wounds, love our trauma to heal our trauma, might really be the answer. So help me welcome to our airwaves today for a really special conversation, coach and co-founder of Daring Deeply, my special guest, David Lee. Welcome to the show, David. Thanks for being with me today. How are you?
Rebecca, so lovely to hear your voice. You know, I was just listening to you, and I thought, I either need to take a nap or I need to spike up here and get ready for this broadcast because your voice is lovely. So lovely, so generous, so delightful. And I thought, well, I may have put you to sleep. Yeah, there you go. Well played, my friend. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Good to see you.
Just lulled you away. Yeah,
absolutely.
You should do a hypnotherapy session with me one time. Sometime it's really effective.
I think I just went through it, and now I'm on the other side.
You may have. It's so good to see you. We had recently done a live on TikTok together, and now we're hitting the airwaves. It's always great to talk to you and share space with you, and just sit with the distinctions that you offer, because you are trained from a particular perspective and you've got distinctions with that training that you introduce. I want to make a request of you today, and that is that everything you share about, you share with the background thought that my listeners might have no idea what you're talking about when you say some of the things you might say, right? Like, you use
absolutely
distinctions that I might stop you and say, hold on a second, could you please explain that? So if I do, don't think I'm interrupting for no reason. I really want, your content is rich. I've been watching you on TikTok. I've been following you. I check out your website. Today I went and downloaded the little thing that you guys offer, you and Paige. He's in business with his wife, y'all. How adorable is that? But y'all offer a free download. I went and got that today so I could poke around. But I really appreciate what you put out into the world. Can you talk a little bit about what it is that you put out in the world, what this particular type of training and perspective is, and how you ran into it that made it so vital for you?
Yeah. Thank you so much again for that lovely introduction. Yes. Myself and my wife, we own and operate our coaching practice, Daring Deeply, where we help men and women across the planet to love their trauma in order to heal their trauma, which you so graciously introduced that in the introduction. And so I often get the raised eyebrows, and there may be many raised eyebrows right now on the airwaves that say, excuse me, you want me to love my trauma, to heal my trauma? Where we come from is an understanding that trauma is not something that happens to you. It happens with you, and it's not the actual event of trauma, which we often are misinformed about. It's actually the negative energy that is still residing within your nervous system from that moment that wasn't properly allowed to leave or be processed or be released from your physical body. And so many of us, and what we subscribe to, is this idea that all 8 billion of us, we're an 8 billion person gaggle, Rebecca, on this planet, that all has unprocessed, unreleased trauma within our nervous system, still ready to be released, which the evidence of that is what we call triggers. And that's a pretty popular term these days. We experience triggers emotionally, physically, somatically, spiritually, when we feel dysregulated, when we feel upset, when we feel angry, when we feel sad, when we feel depressed, when we have those overwhelming dysregulating emotions that come forth, then we know, there is still trauma within our nervous system, within our body, that still needs to be released. Additionally, how we help our clients identify, really get some grasp on what those traumas, those unreleased traumas may be, is we look at it through what we refer to as masculine and feminine energy. We believe that every soul on the planet, whether it's relegated to a gender or not, we all have and possess both masculine and feminine energy. And therefore, we have and possess both masculine and feminine wounding. And so it helps our clients to identify things like control. Do you feel like you're a controlling individual? That is a masculine energetic wounding. It is not something in which we want to embrace. Oftentimes, I want control over my life. No, you want autonomy over your life. You want agency over your system. For example, neediness is a wounded feminine energy. And so every single one of us on the planet possesses both masculine and feminine wounding that is derived and comes from an unmet need, from long traumas unprocessed, most specifically from our childhood. I'll stop there.
Okay, good. So this is going to let me pull at a couple of threads that you left hanging for me. So masculine and feminine exists in each one of us, despite, you know, I'm a woman, but I've got masculine and feminine energy, like I've got testosterone and estrogen, right?
Correct. Correct.
So if I am just, I'm just going to apply this to myself. If I'm a controlling type, you're saying that implies wounded masculine. What does that mean? What will I have possibly experienced if I have a wounded masculine versus what does it mean to have a wounded feminine? Where are those injuries similar or different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So oftentimes we've heard in our culture, in personal development spaces, trauma spaces, hey, I want to heal spaces, hey, I need to pick up a book and learn how to heal spaces, is we hear, oh, I have daddy wounds. Oh, I have mother wounding. The reality is we go much deeper than that, and we say we have masculine or feminine wounding. Now, you can receive masculine and feminine wounding from those in our past, most predominantly parents, mentors, coaches, those with whom we had influence over us as a child, in which we didn't have agency. We were incredibly vulnerable in those states as a child. And so those with whom had influence over us, they possessed their wounding as well. So a mother, for example, could have masculine wounding that did not allow you to have agency, was over-controlling. And so you lacked the control or the autonomy within the decision-making as a child, and then that wounding was then realized as you moved into an adulthood, swung violently to the other way to say, I didn't have control as a child, and come hell or high water, I will have control as an adult. Is that helpful?
So I have a specific memory of being about 5 years old. I was in a family. We're just going to do therapy with Rebecca. Welcome to Therapy for Rebecca with David Lee.
Come and sit on the couch. Let's go. Here we go. Put your feet up. Kick your shoes off.
Here.
Let's go.
Hold on, doctor. 1 second, please. Let me get my feet up. Okay.
Meter's running.
When I was five. No. Okay. So here's the – but I want to use real life because I don't want my people listening to you and hearing, like, Pythagorean theorems. Like, I want them to get, like, real life about this. So – and I, you know, I put all my stuff on blast. No way. So I want them to have real life. So when I was 5 years old, I was in a culture of my family that was volatile. And so I found myself often in a place of standing between my mother and my father and saying to my mother, don't say that to my dad, and saying to my father, don't hit my mom.
Yeah.
So what wound just happened to me?
Yeah.
As a 5 year
old. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that you were so vulnerable right now and said that the family energy, the family environment was volatile is huge. And we would certainly dig into the word volatile, which means disruptive, which means in a sense of chaos. Now, if I were to then define what that volatility was a wounded feminine volatility. Now, what I mean by that is it was an environment in which there was a lack of stability. And so someone has to take control of that or feel like, uh-oh, I do not have control. I am between two parents. I'm not certain on who is in charge. So there may be some dominating, some controlling, some impulsive, some reactive, some forceful, some defensive postures going on there. And so you were forced in your vulnerability as a little girl to step into your masculine energy in that moment, which was completely counter to who you wanted to be, which was a little girl, which was to be taken care of, which was to surrender into healthy masculine and feminine energy in which to live your life as a little girl. But you were forced at a very, very young age to step into masculine energy, control, and try to control the situation. Try to control behaviors that were far outside of your scope.
that would be 1,000% accurate. So then, so, I mean, I've done 25 years of work quite deliberately with myself to bring some, what I'll call balance to my inner person. Forget what y'all see. She's going to be colorful, troubling, sure, no matter what.
You bet. As she
but
should.
There was... but there's definitely been a process for me to have to go inner to my inner Rebecca and do some work to kind of go back to that five-year-old.
Precisely.
And...
Precisely.
Help her navigate and almost reestablish her innocence and let the light lessons of life come from the life, not the harm per se. Can you talk about how you help people go inward like that? Because that's an inside job. You're a coach, but you're really helping someone do an inside job. So how do you help someone like me? Now we've established everything you just said about my scenario that I gave you was all accurate. How do you help me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we use the anchorage of a very specific healing modality that was created by Richard Schwartz, Dr. Richard Schwartz, in the 1980s called internal family systems. And you may have are familiar with this. Listeners may be familiar with this particular healing modality. Or IFS, internal family systems, or parts work, as it's often abbreviated. And what you have identified, Rebecca, is precisely correct. In fact, we even leverage language like this all the time, and we may not know anything about this particular healing modality when we say things like, you know, there's a part of me that doesn't feel right about this. There's a part of me that wants to do this. There's a part of me that feels scared. There's a part of me that feels enthused. When in reality, that's exactly correct, that we, as individual souls, have a multiplicity of parts who are with us all the time. So the five-year-old girl, for example, the five-year-old Rebecca absolutely needs validation, healing, love, to be known, to be heard, to be understood, because once upon a time, those traumatic events were left within the five-year-old and have continued on through the next how many decades forward. And so how we provide support for our clients is to have them begin to unblend, what we call unblending, of their parts to their self. Now, Rebecca, in her truest, compassionate, creative, confident, curious, calm, connected, clear, consistent, courageous self is to be separated or unblended from the five-year-old girl that still thinks that Rebecca is five. And it's no wonder that she's still terrorized. It's no wonder that she can still go right back there and go, oh my gosh, I can smell it, I can feel it, I can hear it, I can taste it that moment. It's because the energy that's left over from that traumatic event is still residing in your nervous system. And in order to begin to heal that, we have got to rewire the neural pathways from who you are today as Rebecca the adult and reposition a relationship with a five-year-old girl who, again, still thinks you're five. And so there's no wonder that there's terror, there's surprise, there's depression, there's sadness, there's anger. There's confusion because, again, the five-year-old still thinks she's five. But the hope is that we begin to establish a literal, spiritual, vocal relationship with the little girl by journaling, processing, meditating through prayer to say, hi, I see you. I hear you. I hear you, little Rebecca. I'm here with you. And that's the grown Rebecca speaking to the five-year-old Rebecca to reassure her, to validate her, to love her, to honor her, to cherish her, because once upon a time she was simply left there to heal on her own, to figure things out on her own, and she lacked the autonomy, she lacked the intelligence, she lacked the maturity, she lacked the care to be taken care of, and we can begin to truly heal by providing that care, providing that love from the self, from Rebecca today to the little five-year-old girl. So what do we do in essence with our clients is we help identify those masculine and feminine woundings, those traumatic events from childhood, and we have many. So for example, Rebecca, your five-year-old little girl is potentially one of many little Rebeccas from the age of zero typically to the age of 18, when she was most vulnerable and experienced moments of dysregulation. And that's important to note, by the way, because trauma is not the most dramatic, caustic events of our life. Trauma can be as simple as falling off your bike, hurting your knee. That's trauma.
Right.
Right? And so any dysregulation to the nervous system, any dysregulation to the body, any dysregulation to the emotional nervous system is trauma. And so, of course, we have a series of those parts. The five-year-old Rebecca is a part in which to establish a new relationship with her. And when we begin to have those regular conversations with the little girl, those triggers begin to subside. Those triggers come far less often. And that's when we know that we're truly beginning to heal.
That's really great, David. I say to my clients often, especially when I work with couples, and I'd like to kind of bridge over to the couples conversation with you now. I want to say in our world today, but I don't know that the world's ever had it get together enough to put a reference point to say to backdate something. However,
right.
I do hear a lot these days, especially coming from my female clients, but it's, you know, it can be there in the male conversation as well, of what the expectations are, therefore the disappointments when it comes to a grown-ass man, ... As though to say when a woman or a man reaches a particular age of majority, I don't know, voting age, smoking age, go to war, I don't know what age, run for president age. I don't know what chronological year number assignment the world thinks that by that date someone should kind of have their poop in a group, but we definitely do, okay? It's in some cases it's spoken. You know, by 18, you should have gotten your education, graduated, and by the, you know, in some cases it's spoken. In some cases it's not spoken. Nobody has said, well, at 27 is the year. But it's implied or inferred. I have a theory, though, thanks to my Aunt Jane, God rest her soul, who in her 90s said, what's the matter with women today? Don't they know they have to help a man be a good man? And I was like, whoa, mind blown. I'm like, whoa, back up. So I want you to riddle me this, Riddler. We've got, quote unquote, a bunch of grown-ass people, okay, being in relationships. But that's just how old their skin sacks are, right? Because what you're talking about here is that people have acquired injury to their person, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever. And those trauma points are places where little pause buttons have occurred. And yet life's gone on anyway. And so parts of them are still really sitting there. So no one of us is really grown. So yeah, you're 30, he's 33, y'all walk down the aisle, but it might be as good as a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old that just walked down that aisle. Yes? And if so, now what do we do? Now what do we do, David? Have you seen the playgrounds?
Right.
You know, like, now what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it brings up a fantastic narrative and also, very candidly, a scary one. In that, wait a minute, are we just a bunch of kids running around having sex? Which, hey, you know. The reality is that the vast majority of a relationship and the vast majority of relationships on the planet are only fused by trauma bonds. And what I mean by that is it is the parts of us, as we referred to that earlier, connecting or attaching to the wounded parts of our partner and thinking, oh, I like this person, We're in tune. Mm-hmm. We have things in common. We grew up the same, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When in reality, mm-hmm. there is an underforce. There is an energy that connects most individuals together based on their wounding, not on their healing. And so we wonder then why in the world relationships are so freaking hard. And with all due respect to, was it your aunt that said, what's wrong with women these days? Was it your aunt? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When she said, what's wrong with women these days? Don't they know they have to help their man be a man? And again, with all due respect to your aunt, she is unequivocally, without question, wrong. And that's her experience. That's her wounded experience that says, well, men need the assistance. They need the cajoling. They need the spoiling. They need the push. They need the manipulation. They need the, quote, love or support of a woman in order for him to step up, as we describe, into his dominant, powerful, strong, devoted, decisive, masculine energy. For your aunt, God bless her, with everything that was going on, she may not have ever experienced any of those traits, any of those healing masculine traits within her partner. So, of course, she's coming from a wounded space, and that's why the wounded advice comes forth. So to come back to your question, like, so when does somebody grow up? They grow up when they begin to heal their trauma, right? Not when they have children, not when they become 18, not when they go the voting age, not when they go off to war, not when they reach 30, not when they suddenly hit a midlife crisis. Their emotional age is all connected and consistent with the level of growth, healing, and transformation of their inner self, when they begin to truly understand the wounding within them that is absolutely blocking them from having the life that they may not even know that they're worthy of having.
So how then can really well-intending people, I'm not going to play devil's advocate anymore, let me just say this, how then do really well-intending people start telling the truth and face what they have to face personally? Or is there a way inside of a relationship for us to face it together? Mm. Ergo, Aunt Jane's 2 cents about you got to grow each other up.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. Something that is the foundation and the rock of our teaching and coaching, Rebecca, is that you are a 100% autonomous with agency individual who chooses to enter a co-creative relationship. We have so many people come to us and say, hey, we want you to help save our marriage. And I say back to them, I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. We don't do that. And they look back at me and say, wait a minute, what? I thought you were going to help me fix or save my marriage, save my relationship. And the reality is there is no such thing as a relationship to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
There are two individuals in which to engage in individual healing. As I often say, the definition of a relationship, a romantic relationship, has nothing to do with death to us part, has nothing to do with having great sex, has nothing to do with procreation, has nothing to do with creating a 401k, has nothing to do with like-mindedness, has nothing to do with we have many things in common. It is only defined as this, that you have done and are doing your healing, growth, and transformative work so that then you can support the healing, growth, and transformation of your romantic partner. That's it. You're not to heal them. You're not to fix them. You're not to save them. You're not to enable them. You are only responsible for your growth, your healing, your transformation, which is a mind-blowing idea and concept to most people because we have also lent into this idea that when you become a couple, you become one. And that, for me, from my perspective, is a misinterpretation of two shall become one. That, from my interpretation, is enmeshment, is codependency. is attachment. Where, and this is why we hear so many folks within the context of relationships say, I lost myself. Well, yes, you did, because you became one. You no longer have agency. You no longer have autonomy. You no longer have independence. You have no idea who you are because you lost yourself. And so we have to begin to rewire and readjust and realign and perhaps discover for the first time what it means to be you. And so how does that begin to happen? How do you begin to understand and identify the wounding that's within you? You have to come to that understanding that, wait, this is about me. That in order for me to have the life of my dreams, which then could populate into the relationship of your dreams, the career of your dreams, the job, of whatever the case may be, but it must begin with you. And that's such a difficult concept to go upstream. Because, of course, we live in cultural and societal narratives that says that couples is everything. That being single is of the devil.
That's right.
That being married is the ultimate goal, especially for feminine women. Oh, my gosh, I got to get married. I'm going to be a spinster.
Don't forget making babies.
Exactly. Yeah, I got to have those babies. And so we do whatever we know to be done to enter into a relationship and believe what we've been told by those who have been wounded in generations past. So it's no wonder we have generational trauma over and over and over. When we have an aunt or an uncle or a mother or a father or a grandfather tell us from their wounded experience how to navigate relationships. And so then it's continually.
Oh, listen, I got a million where that came from. That was like my least, that was actually one of my helpful ones. That was, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that comment from my Aunt Jane was helpful to me. That comment was helpful to me because I hadn't previously, and I was a young woman when she told this was 20 plus years ago, but she said something in the context of that conversation that made me realize that my partner isn't coming to the table as some finished product, that we sometimes have expectations that who we're with is like, they're done. That's it. That's how they're going to be. That's everything. And we've seen everything. I married you because I met you. I fell in love with you. I liked what I saw, but I have no idea what I saw. I have no idea when life throws us curveballs, when we have a miscarriage, when we lose our business. I have no idea who you are then. Those are those triggers, right? That's the stuff you were talking about earlier. Now I get to see you triggered. You eating sushi at Benihana isn't a trigger, most likely. A lot of times we experience most likely. I mean, listen, I've seen some people triggered over some stuff on a menu and a waitress and a meal not getting cooked right, and that was a really good sign that I was with the wrong person. But I'll just say that most often we're getting married, and I'll just specifically say married, I'm not going to marry about married people. We're very often getting married with an idea of who we think we're with and not really understanding who we're with. And then real life hits you as a married couple. And you're expecting something that you're not getting.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be looking at your partner like, what the heck is wrong with them, as opposed to, oh, my partner is revealing something unresolved. How can I be supportive, not reactive?
Precisely. Precisely. So often we choose through trauma bonding.
Yeah.
Yep. Go ahead.
Well, no, please go ahead with what you were saying. You're probably going to answer my question.
Yeah, we choose based on the deficiency in the unmet needs from our trauma wounding of our childhood. So this is why we often hear someone say, oh, my gosh, I married my father. Oh, my gosh, I married my mother. Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, somebody just got offended, right? Somebody in the airways, right? Oh, my goodness.
Right,
well,
right,
the reason why.
Right.
Yeah, the reason why is because so often the triggers that come forth in adulthood are echoes, again, from the unmet needs of our traumatic past that we believe the partner can solve for us because it's familiar. So and yet there lends into the codependent idea. It says, oh, I'm going to pick, quote, the right partner because they're going to help me heal my wounds, And we may not even think that. But we think, oh, there, you've heard this. Oh, they're so good for me. I'm so good for him. This is my better half. All that phraseology comes from a very wounded place. It comes from a sense of,
is that why we're all
if
looking
I
for
get
soulmates?
In... Yeah, exactly.
Is that the soulmate, twin
exactly.
flame? Like, I got to
yeah.
find the thing that completes
yeah.
me so that I'm whole
exactly.
in order to do this life?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where it comes from. And with all due respect to Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise's character in Jerry Maguire, we are never to say, you complete me. You
yeah.
are already complete. And that's so much of the work that we do with our clients is having them release this idea that they're broken, that they're effed up, that somehow that they're lacking. What we often
it's
say
been romanticized.
Encouragement to our clients. Oh, my gosh, yes, absolutely.
It's been romantic. I just watched this really. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
No, that we absolutely need someone else.
Yes. I saw this video today, just today, on Facebook. And it's got this lovely, like, harp flute, I don't know, romantic music, and this couple frolicking and living the best life that a man and woman on a beach and hugging and at a theme park and eating each end of a hot dog. It was all romantic. Mm-hmm. And then there's this overlaid narrative of this man saying some poem or some, I don't know, but the whole point of it was I'm an angel with a broken wing, and you are with a broken wing, and we can fly together.
Mm-hmm.
Was the whole thing.
Yep.
And I thought,
yeah.
y'all had me until you said all of us are broken, and then it's in finding each other, because you've now immediately alienated a demographic of people that don't ever want to get married. Maybe I don't want to get married. Maybe that's not the life for me. Maybe
sure.
that's not what turns my switches up and down. What are we do? What do you think the impact of this is culturally? What are you seeing that's really becoming like the condition out there with this romanticized, I'm incomplete and I'm broken, and it, by admitting it, I'm now honest and sensitive. What is that? What are we doing?
Yeah, it's the overarching, most grounding, most apparent, most sinister of the feminine woundings. Notice I said feminine, not female, not woman. I said
yes.
feminine woundings,
yes.
which is codependency, which says, I need someone else to complete me. I need someone else to fix me. I need someone else. In fact, the language there is so important. As Brené Brown says, language is critical. Language is so, so important. You do not need anyone. I'm going to say that again. Ladies and gentlemen who are watching, listening, you do not need another soul on this planet. You want. When it comes from want, then it comes from interdependency. Then it comes from a healthy agency. Then it comes from no matter what happens in your life, if tragedy strikes, you lose a spouse, you lose a child, and we all do, right? We all have a 100%
yes.
death rate, newsflash, spoiler alert, friends. The reason why we have so much dysregulation is because we have this codependent attachment to someone else in what they can do for us. When we've lost or we never had, this idea that, wait a minute, I only am concerned with who I am. I am only concerned with where I'm going, how I'm healing, how I'm growing. Now, this is super, super, super challenging because we may have listeners right now are thinking, oh, David, that's the most selfish thing I've ever heard.
Right.
I can't
right.
believe that you would put yourself first. Well, as silly as it may sound, but those flight attendants on every airplane, they get it. You are to put
mm-hmm.
your mask on first. That is the best illustration of what we are doing with our clients, what we are teaching and coaching in the world, is to say, when you take care of yourself first, imagine how you're able to show up for others around you. It's a compound effect. I often leverage this idea that it's an overflow. When you're filled, everything that's the overflow is a benefit into your spouse, into your children, into your friends, your cause, your job, your career, your charity, your whatever the case may be. I often tell this to moms who don't like to hear this, what I'm about to say, is you
have
to
come. Oh, I'm so glad. I wanted to segue to parenting with you, definitely.
Yeah.
What do you tell moms,
yeah.
David?
Uh-huh, yeah. I tell moms, you must come first. Your children are never to come before you. Your children are not to come before you and your spouse. The only person, the greatest gift that you will ever give to your children, ladies, is a healing you. All putting your children first does is creates yet another generation of codependent, wounded individuals. Because those children see,
also,
oh, wait, the sun sets with me. The sun rises with me. It's all about me. Mom puts herself last. Meanwhile, she is dying inside, and she may not even know it, but she is. And every time I leverage this type of narrative, I hear women screaming from the rooftops like, wait, can I actually believe him? Can I actually agree with him? Is that okay? Because the world tells her that she is to come last. And it's absolutely unequivocal.
Well, sure. I call that burnt toast syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Women are conditioned. You know, I'm making breakfast. I put 4 pieces of bread down for my family. 1 piece is burnt. I'm taking it. I don't want to give that to my kids. I call it the broken yolk. Burnt toast and broken yolk syndrome. If I'm making some fried eggs and a yolk breaks, I'll take it. Now, when it's coming to toast and eggs, it might not be that big a deal. But when you're talking about self-respect, health, peace of mind, inner healing, you're talking about epic consequences when we don't go first. Now, I was going to bring it to you from a different place, and that is that I find that moms want to see behavior out of their children that the children in no way or shape or form are set up to produce, because even the mother herself didn't embody it, yet she expects it from her children.
Mm-hmm.
This is the chronic condition I'm seeing among mothers, is mothers who are, for fear of jumping on the bandwagon, really demonstrating narcissistic behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the greatest gift that a mother or father will ever give his children or her children is a healing them, right? It is showcasing, is the example of what it means to heal spiritually, somatically, physically, sexually, you know, all the ways in which there are necessary areas in which to heal. So the give and give and give and give and give and give and give is killing the women of the world. I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
The giving, 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 giving of women to others is killing women. I've done several of these videos, and we have some content pieces where I say, ladies, stop giving to your men. Stop giving to your man. And of course, they come out of the woodwork.
They're just coming for you on that one. Right. I'm a giver.
Yeah.
I love.
Yeah.
I'm
a giver. I'm a giver.
Right?
Yes. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. No, you're not. No, you're not. You think you are because you've been told that that is how then you receive love. Oh,
right.
Ouch. Mm.
Which, PS, ladies, we shorthand that, and that's called manipulation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Give to get, right? Tit for tat.
Yes.
It's called conditional love, right? Yeah.
Yes, and when I don't get it back, now I'm upset.
Exactly. The ultimate passive-aggressive is, wait, I've done all this for you people. Where's mine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called passive-aggressive, and it leads to martyrdom. It leads to victimhood. It leads to all of these negative narratives that leave her not only empty because she's given all of herself away, but then she typically lends into deep levels of resentment and bitterness moving forward.
Yeah.
So not only is she empty energetically, she has lost her radiance, she has lost her femininity, she has lost her sensuality, she has lost her flirtation, she has lost her surrender, she has lost her soften. The little girl, the woman within her, has been given away because she thinks, if I just give to him one more time, he'll clue in and give something back.
Right.
When in reality, guess what, ladies, and you know this, those that are listening, you know that doesn't work.
Right.
And yet, ladies, women try to continue to give to get, and think it's transactional. And quite frankly,
yes,
men are in the same position. So many relationships are what we call contractual. If I do, then you will. And they're not to be,
yes,
contractual. A healthy, polarized, masculine, feminine, co-creative, passionate, otherworldly, grounded, mature relationship is one in which is covenantal, which for many of you,
mm-hmm,
many of your listeners will completely understand this idea of covenant, which means,
mm-hmm,
I will love you because I love myself first. Therefore, then,
yes,
I can extend what overflows from me. That is a next level type of connection, as you know, Rebecca.
Yes. So I love that your work focuses on harmonizing your energies and the energies, feminine and masculine. And again, we're not talking female and male, although within each female and male is the masculine and feminine simultaneously together. I love that,
correct,
you work on harmonizing energy to thrive independently and interdependently. How long does working with you for someone usually take? Do you have programs that have a start and stop? Do you just take on a client and then it just keeps going until they feel like they're complete and kind of get off the ride? How do you work with people?
Yeah, fantastic question. The first thing I will say in answering that question, Rebecca, it's a phenomenal one, is healing, any type of healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, sexual healing, emotional healing, is a feminine energy. It doesn't mean female. Doesn't mean only women can heal. Okay, but it is a feminine energy, which means it has no direct path. It is emotional. It is chaotic. It is expressive, it's creative, it's intuitive, it's playful, it's fluid. It's all about the process. And so we will have folks come to us and go, you know, I was checking out some other programs and I wanted to check out yours. And they said that they can really help heal my trauma in 90 days. And I compose myself with the greatest dignity and maturity and say back to them, with all due respect to those folks, it's simply foolhardy. It's simply untrue. Right. Now, here comes the masculine energy to say it's important for us to commit to a masculine container of time. So with all of my clients that I work with one-on-one, and I work with both men and women, both men and women from all over the globe, we commit, notice I said that, we commit, there's masculine, we commit to a 12-month container to begin. Most of the clients in which I work with, we will go on and on and on until we both come to an understanding of, wow, okay, there's a time and a space in which to move forward. And as we know, every relationship comes to an end, every relationship on the planet. Every relationship has a completion, whether by choice or by death. If I feel that for whatever reason, the healing process is not moving in a way that feels conducive to us continuing to work together, that choice can be made by both of us. But we commit, there's the masculine container, we commit to 12 months working together initially. And in those 12 months, we can see some absolutely radical radical, crazy, otherworldly effects of this healing journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. I appreciate the harmonious reply to that. I have the yin and the yang, the feminine and the masculine speaking there.
Exactly.
And I agree. I ask that kind of for some self-serving reasons. You know, I work with people who sometimes feel like in a few sessions they should really be someplace. And in some cases, some people really have some breakthrough sessions or weeks. But I think people
Absolutely.
Can tend to get impatient with their process. So I know that I sometimes encourage people to temper their expectations and have some compassion for themselves as we journey together. Most of my clients are sitting in the, you know, 40 to 70s in the age range, so we didn't get here overnight. It's not going to change overnight. But do you have any encouraging words for people who either start and aren't sure to keep going or might want to start and aren't sure to start because they're afraid of commitment? When do we know it's right, and how do we keep our seats, you know, our butt in the seats?
Yeah, that is such a fantastic way to say it. Because of the nature of our work, you know, folks will come to us when they feel that they are ready. And then, of course, I throw a monkey in the wrench. Throw a wrench in the monkey? Whatever.
That's all
whatever
very painful, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. And I say, be careful what you wish for. And no one's ready to do anything. Nobody's ready to do. What does ready mean, right? Nobody's ready to leave high school, right? Nobody's ready to get married. Nobody's ready to have children. Nobody's ready to change jobs. You simply have enough leverage on your side to make an emotionally impactful decision to move forward. So when people come to us, they're typically in this space of, you know what, I've tried so many different things. I've tried so many different healing modalities. I've tried so many ways in which to tackle what's keeping me from the life of my dreams. And they say, I'm ready to jump on. And as one of my mentors, Mastin Kipp, once told me years ago, he said, the only equipping that someone who's going to work with someone who has trauma is to provide a safe and secure container in which to heal. And so when people come to us and they say, I need your help, I am very forward, I am very frank, I am very crystal clear on what this process will look like. And of course, I am not the genie. I am not God. I do not have a crystal ball. I can't see what's in the future, but that's why we have those introductory calls. That's why we get to know each other. And by the way, when people come to us for help, they've been stalking us. They've been creeping us for some time. And we welcome that, by the way, all the listeners. If you're interested in what we're doing, please come and creep us. Please come and stalk us. Please come and check us out. Come and date us without we knowing that we're actually on the date, if you get my meaning. But come and find out if it feels like a safe space, because this work is about your safety and your security. The promise that I will make is that I will do, Paige and I will do, everything within our power, within our own healing journey, to provide you the safest, most secure environment in which to dig into the toughest but most rewarding work of their life.
All right. Tough question for you, Coach. Who are the people you just can't work with? They make it impossible. Like who they are, where they are, what they're not doing, what they're not being. Where do you just say, I'm sorry, this is not working. You're not coachable. Does that happen?
It doesn't happen. Not from my perspective, Rebecca. It's a great question. It's a great question. What I bring forth in when I get on consultation calls to see if it's a good fit to work together, it's my job to be incredibly discerning in that process. And this is what I say to every mm-hmm. single person who's come forth. This is what I say to them. I'm 100% committed to you. And my expectation is that there is reciprocity in that exchange. And so I'm very, very grounded and very crystal clear. This is where we're going. I have you. I've got you. This is going to be a safe and secure environment. It's going
to
be
tough. So as long
as
they stay on the ride, you're with them.
Exactly. I'm with them.
Yep.
I'm not, as I say, I'm not giving up. So my expectation is you don't either. And if they're not ready for that, that's okay. That's okay. There's someone else out there for them.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Well, listen, y'all, if this conversation has inspired you, I encourage you to head over to David and Paige and their website. Congratulations on your new nuptials, by the way. daring-deeply.com. I really appreciate you guys and respect the work that you're doing and love that you do it together. Love seeing couples able to make life and love and money together. It's a powerful testimony.
Amen to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
All right, well,
yes,
I'll
absolutely
see you around this interweb campus, and God bless your work, David. I really appreciate you. We'll see. Have you again
Thank
on the
you
show
so much,
sometime.
Rebecca.
Absolutely. All right,
it's
take
been
care,
my
buddy.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation. Bye-bye.
My honor. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. Go check out David and Paige over at daring-deeply.com. You can check them out, of course, on TikTok. Some of you already messaged me and said, oh, I know your guest. I watch him on TikTok. And I'm sure you do, because so do I. And, you know, this type of conversation and messaging I really would love to see become more commonplace, more everyday, where men and women can sit together and have conversations that reflect what's possible inside of us, that great I am, that yes, listen, friends, things happen. They do. There's that song out there by Adele that says something like, go easy on me. I wasn't even old enough to choose who I would be before it was happening to me, right? There's some lyrics to the flavor of that. So yeah, I tell my clients, as the twig is bent, so the tree will grow. But anybody that works with trees can tell you, we can align a trunk, we can straighten out branches, we can heal leaves. It's amazing what we can bring back to life, to experience within itself the wholeness, not because someone, something else makes it whole, but because it's whole, and anything else that says it's not is simply a barrier, an impediment, something that blocks the view of that wholeness. There is light, and then barriers to the light that we call dark. There is love, and there are barriers to love that we call fear or hate. But those simply are words that we've given to assign to things so that we can discuss them together, articulate them. But the truth is, there's only love, and there's only light, and we each have and deserve the opportunity to know ourselves from that place. So thank you for tuning in. You can always visit me at my page, livinggodspromises.com. We have tons of classes, one-on-ones available, of course, a full schedule of lives Sunday through Thursday on TikTok, Twitch, now X. It's not Twitter anymore. It's X, I guess, YouTube, and all over the place on Facebook and LinkedIn and more. So reach out. We'd love to serve you. God bless. See you next time. Peace.